Okay, turn to Proverbs 5 and verse 2. Proverbs 5, 2. We're going to cover a couple of verses tonight. I'll just read verse 1 and 2. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding. Verse 2. That thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. So we're going to look at that verse 2, and we'll look at the first phrase of it first. That thou mayest regard discretion. So in this verse, Solomon gives us the reason for attending unto his wisdom and bowing our ear to his understanding. That was the first part of the sentence, verse 1 and 2, or one sentence. So he first told us to bow our ears to his understanding and attend to his wisdom, and this is the reason for it, that thou mayest regard discretion. Now, if you remember, attending unto his wisdom is focusing our mind and our energy and our attention unto what we're learning. And when we do that, we will be able to regard discretion. That's what he says there in verse 2. To regard means to look at, gaze upon, observe. It's interesting. That's the primary definition. When you go a little further down, then you come to like esteem when we think of how we use regard typically. But this is the primary definition. And really, this is what this is talking about. To regard discretion, to look at, gaze upon, or observe discretion. Discretion is ability to discern or distinguish what is right, befitting, or advisable, especially as regards one's own conduct or action. The quality of being discreet, discernment, prudence, sagacity, circumspection, sound judgment. So if we put all this together and we put verse 1 and verse 2 together with the definitions, here's what it's telling us. The purpose of listening carefully and paying attention to the Word of God, which is wisdom, Proverbs 2:6, is not simply to acquire information about wisdom, but rather to be able to learn how to discern and distinguish what is right and advisable regarding our own conduct and decisions. That's the purpose of paying attention and directing our minds to learn wisdom, is not simply just to learn things so we can check them off, or learn things so that we can pass a multiple choice test at the end of the Bible study series, right? The point of it is so that we can learn how to apply these things and learn how to live, how to make good decisions, how to make sure that our conduct is pleasing to God. Ultimately, that's why we want to attend unto wisdom. It's very practical. It's not just a head knowledge kind of thing. There are a lot of people out there that like the head knowledge aspect of it. Oh, it's neat to learn the Bible and learn all kinds of things. But then when it comes to actually putting it in practice in their lives, then they're not so interested in it anymore. But it sure is neat to learn about everything. But God wants us to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves, as it says in the book of James. So in other words, it behooves us to focus on learning the word of God so that we'll be able to figure out how to do what is right in the eyes of God in our lives. That's why we should be focusing, to do what God says ultimately and make him pleased with us. Now, the intention of the Proverbs is to give the young man, and the old man for that matter, discretion. Proverbs 1 and verse 4. If you want to regard discretion, well, then read the Proverbs, because they were given in order to give us discretion. Proverbs 1, 4 says, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. So it's especially helpful to the young man. But you know what? In this generation, it's helpful to the old people too. Because you think about the mess that we're in right now, and I was thinking about this today. Now, the young people are screwed up. But why are the young people screwed up? Because the old people are the ones that raised them and didn't teach them anything, right? They didn't discipline them, and they abdicated their duty, basically. And you think about, like, the country's so screwed up and our politicians are all screwed up. Why are they screwed up? Who are the ones that vote? The young or the old? Young people don't vote, right? Statistically speaking, it's the old people that vote. Why do we have the politicians we have? It's because of the old people. That's why, right? So young and old need to learn some discretion. And this country proves that pretty well. When we learn discretion, it will save us from sin and from sinners. Proverbs 2 and verse 11. Proverbs 2 and verse 11 says, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. So there's a saving influence whenever we learn discretion. Because remember, to be to have discretion is to have prudence and sagacity and to be able to know what the right thing to do is. And when you know what the right thing to do is, then that's going to save you from a whole lot of trouble in your life. And that's what Solomon is telling us here. And if we learn discretion, we'll learn to defer our anger and be merciful to others. Proverbs 19 and verse 11. Just going through a few things here that the Bible, especially in the book of Proverbs, tells us about discretion. Proverbs 19 and verse 11. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. So the man that has discretion defers or puts off his anger. He doesn't get angry right away, right? He's able to control that. And that's a tough thing to control. It's a tough thing to control the anger in the tongue, because the tongue is pretty much how you know when you're angry, right? And you read James when he says that the tongue can no man tame. It's a force to be reckoned with. But the person that learns discretion will be able to do that. And, you know, thinking about the old needing to learn discretion, too, we were just talking about the presidential debate with Trump and Biden. I mean, there are two guys in their mid to late 70s that need to learn discretion, acting like a bunch of kids up there, you know, yelling at each other and talking over each other. And, it, you know, what? I mean, this country's been screwed up for a long time, but it didn't used to be that way. I just heard somebody talking today. They said they went back and looked at the Carter-Reagan debate. It wasn't like that. I mean, people had, you know, some decorum, some manners, but not anymore. No. It's just it's a freak show. It's crazy. It's just, it is indicative of the state, the spiritual state of this country. The Lord gives the basest of men to rule over the kingdoms of men, as it says in Daniel. And boy, aren't we seeing this? Well, getting back to this thing that if we have discretion, we'll be able to defer our anger. When we learn that, then we'll be better than the mighty. Proverbs 16 and verse 32. Proverbs 16:32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. We would all look with admiration at great generals throughout history that did incredible, you know, had incredible tactics in war and took cities and won wars. And we think about how amazing those guys were. But you know what? You can be better than them if you control your anger. I can be better than them if I control my anger. Whenever I want to get mad about something or irritable about something, if I can stop myself, I'm like the guy. I'm better than the guy that can take a city. That's really something. And as hard as it is to take a city, it's harder yet to control your own anger and irritation. That's what the Bible's telling us. It's a hard thing to do. But it's something we should all work on, myself included. And then the second part of the verse, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. This is the second reason that Solomon gives for attending unto wisdom. It's so that we can retain the knowledge and be able to share it with others through our speech. That thy lips may keep knowledge. And that's, I mean, it's interesting you said thy lips, because it didn't say that thy brain or thy mind may keep knowledge, but that thy lips may keep knowledge. So you'll have the knowledge to be able to share with others through your lips, through your speech. Now, fools' lips are just the opposite. They don't have knowledge. Proverbs 14 and verse 7. Proverbs 14:7 says, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. In other words, whenever he's saying things that are foolish and stupid, and you can't reason with him, go from his presence. Leave him. Leave him alone. Jesus said to the Pharisees, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And, oh, there's a saying about that. Ugh, now I wish I could remember it. It's about arguing with a fool anyway and basically becoming one yourself, but I can't remember the saying. But anyway, sometimes it's tempting to keep wanting to argue, but the wise thing to do whenever you have found yourself arguing with a fool is just to leave him alone. You're going to end up being like him, you know, the proverb, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be like unto him. Right? There comes a time when it's time to walk away. And you know, when you walk away, a lot of times what somebody will say is, see, you can't answer my arguments, or you can't, you know you're wrong. And if you know you're right, and you know that this guy can't be reasoned with, don't pay no attention to his comments as you're walking away. You don't have anything to prove. And anybody that was listening would be able to understand who was in the right. Now the wise have knowledge, on the other hand, and their lips disperse it. Proverbs 15 and verse 7. It says, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. Now the heart of the foolish disperses words, right? Remember, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. A fool is full of words. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And a man that shutteth his lips, a man of understanding. Right? Fools have a lot of things to say, but wisdom is not one of them. But the lips of the wise disperse knowledge. So this tells me that a wise man will share his wisdom with people. But you know when he does it? Anybody know? When does a wise man share his wisdom with people? Typically. Yes, when somebody asks. Yes, when they try to draw it out. And it would be nice. Yes, Proverbs 18 and verse 4. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. And then Proverbs 20 and verse 5 is the one I was thinking of. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. That's when the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, whenever they're asked. Beware of the guy that always goes around wanting to share his knowledge with you and share his wisdom with you. He's probably not a wise guy, right? He's not going to, wise people don't tell you how wise they are and, hey, sit down, let me explain to you some things here. They usually sit back and wait to be asked. If we regard discretion, our lips will be able to utter knowledge clearly. I thought this was an interesting passage in Job 33 and verse 3. Job 33 and verse 3. Because this is something we should all want. I know it's something that I want and that I lament that I don't have more of it, is to be able to utter knowledge clearly. Because sometimes you got it in your head, and you know what you want to say, but it just doesn't come out the way that you're trying to say it. And it just comes out all, you make sound like a buffoon sometimes. And I hate it when that happens. Job 33 and verse 3 says, my words shall be of the uprightness of my heart, and my lips shall utter knowledge clearly. So yes, if we want to utter knowledge clearly, then we should regard discretion. We should attend unto the words that are spoken of here in the book of Proverbs, especially. And here's another interesting one here. In the Old Testament, the priests were supposed to study the Word of God, and then people would come to them to hear the Word of God out of their mouths. Now, I'll get to that verse in just a second, but turn over to 1 Peter 2 and verse 5, and I want to show you that in the New Testament, we are priests. And then I want you to plug this bit of information into this other passage I'm going to show you in the Old Testament and show you why it's important that we do what Solomon said here and attend unto his wisdom and look upon regard discretion. 1 Peter 2 and verse 5, it says, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So we are a spiritual house, that's the church, lively stones, each one of us, each member is like a stone, we're a spiritual stone, we're laid upon the foundation of Jesus Christ and the apostles and prophets, and we are made a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. So just like the Old Testament had a priesthood, the New Testament had a priesthood. Only in the New Testament, the priesthood is every member of the church. We are all a holy priesthood. There's not a separate priestly class. Right? The pastor's not the priest, right? All of us, each of us individually, are priests because we all offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. Now, keep that in the back of your mind and turn over to the book of Malachi 2 and verse 7. Malachi 2 and verse 7. It says, for the priest's lips should keep knowledge. Isn't that exactly what Solomon said? And that thy lips may keep knowledge? Exactly the same thing. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. They, being the people will seek the law at the priest's mouth, because the priest's lips have knowledge. The priest studies the scripture, and then the people come to him in order to get wisdom, to get the law of God from his mouth. Well, who are the priests under the New Testament? All of us, right? We should all regard wisdom. We should all learn the word of God so that when people come to us, then they can seek the law at our mouths. Isn't that what Peter tells us? That we should be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh us a reason of the hope that is within us with meekness and fear. First Peter 3:15, I think it is. And then lastly, we are told in Proverbs 20 and verse 15 that the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Proverbs 20 and verse 15. So you could go out and buy yourself a 2-carat ruby for your entire life savings, or how much ever they cost a lot anyway. You could spend thousands and thousands of dollars on some nice precious jewels, or you could spend $190 on a nice Cambridge Bible like this, or even get one at the dollar store for that matter, and read it and learn it and have wisdom to share off your lips when somebody asks you. And guess what? A lot more valuable than any diamonds or rubies or anything else that you could have. Proverbs 20 and verse 15 says, there is gold in a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. In other words, the lips of knowledge are better than gold and a multitude of rubies. And we read about that in numerous places here throughout this study, about how wisdom is so much more valuable than any of the worldly treasures that we could want. Okay, so that takes care of Proverbs 5 and verse 2.